Yes, yes, Sam Rzhovsky here. Sam Nation live on Talk Radio 790 KBC, 7:04 p.m. here on Tuesday night, days before Christmas. I don't know how you're doing with your Christmas shopping. If you're anywhere in as bad of shape as me, you're totally screwed. Just going to say that right now. So I think you still have a few days to do it online, which may be a better option for you. Today, driving here to the Sweet James Studios in an undisclosed location deep behind the orange curtain, I found myself stuck in probably what was the most hellacious traffic I have ever experienced on surface streets. How's it going? How's it for you? I can't even imagine LA right now. This is Orange County. I mean, we're pretty, you know, it's pretty milk and crackers down here for the most part. So, yeah, I imagine La Cienega is just a total disaster zone. The 405, I'm sure, is jammed up. Anyway, so stay safe out there. I know it's crazy. If you must get those presents, what I recommend is you take a sick day at work tomorrow and just do your shopping from like 9 to noon. Then take the afternoon to wrap your presents, and then you're good. Thursday rolls around. You got a few days before Christmas. You can drink some eggnog and pat yourself on the back and tell everybody what a stud you are. Okay. Now, lots going on in the news here. Of course, 800-222-5222 is the number that you know is the number here to the program if you'd like to reach me. Sam at samnation.com is the email. Well, yeah, I know we missed a few days here. I know I was off yesterday. We had the weekend. Trump gave an America First speech, a lot of to-do about that. Big talk about Mueller. Is Mueller going to get fired by Trump? And there's just so much nonsense opinions out there floating around. Then there's the tax plan. The tax plan hit a snag today. Have you heard about this? The Republicans voted it in. Everybody got super excited. And then there was this like womp, womp, womp. Do you know why? You know what it came down to? It came down to three provisions in the GOP congressional, the House plan, that are in violation of Senate rules. And they're all relatively minor provisions. Something there was about a veteran's tax credit. There was something else regarding tuition. I mean, it was all very, it's all very minor stuff. But of course, it's embarrassing because, you know, I mean, hell's bells. It's not like Congress has this great reputation right now. Not everybody's going, oh, but these Congress guys, they really know their stuff. So when the most important signature piece of legislation rolls out of there only to roll right back in, this is sort of like somebody when they order a really fancy, you know, Bugatti supercar or whatever, it rolls out of the factory and a wheel falls off of it. Well, it's the functional equivalent of that. So you like, put that thing right back in there. So what'll happen is the provisions will get stripped by the Senate. The Senate will vote on it, then send it back to the House. And the House has to vote on it again. They're keeping Mike Pence in town, the vice president, because he's the tie-breaking vote. You know, he's actually the president of the Senate, and he can vote in the Senate. And they're worried that with McCain, you know, being on bed rest, and Jeff Flake being so antagonistic towards Trump that who knows what he'll do, this tax plan may come down to a tie-breaking vote from the vice president. He's going to cruise in there. And wearing a cape, I don't know. No, he's not going to wear a cape. But whatever it is that he's wearing, he's going to cast the tie-breaking vote, potentially. So that's why Pence, who was supposed to go on a world tour and visit foreign leaders, did not go and is instead cooling his heels in, I'm sure, what is a very wintry, cold Washington, D.C. Now, speaking of cold weather, let me tell you something that has nothing to do with current event. Well, current events for me, yes, but not politics. So if you hate when I talk about politics, which unfortunately you probably hate the program if that's the case, you'll enjoy this part, I think. Do you like puppies? So I know if you don't like politics and you hate Trump, you got to love puppies, because if you don't like puppies, you're a terrible person. I mean, you got like a horrible person, right? Who doesn't like puppies? Anyway, so as you know, in October, we lost our dog, Lucy. She's almost 12 years old. And a big family trauma for us. And about I want to say, a week after she passed, the kids wanted they wanted another dog. And I thought, you know, I gotta look into this. I'm kind of out of practice here. It's been 12 years since I've gotten a dog, and I don't know how this whole thing works. So I start looking for breeders because, yeah, we're not gonna get a damaged pet somewhere from a rescue place. I know people do that, but I've got little kids, and I don't want a dog coming into the household that's gonna bite my kid. So I'm gonna get a puppy. So we go and I start looking at these breeders. I don't know if you know this, but good breeders out there, not the puppy mills, not all this, the good breeders out there, they have waiting lists. And I'd heard this somewhere. So this is where my OCD nature came in, my get ready for everything far in advance, which applies to everything in my life except Christmas shopping. I realized that if I wanted a dog at some point, I'd have to get on it, even though it was pretty early. Like, we didn't want a dog right away. I mean, we just wanted to grieve and take some time. So we found a reputable breeder, and she had about a year and a half wait list. And that sounded about right. That sounded good to us. So all was fine and dandy. We're just waiting. We're telling the kids, you know, no, we didn't come home. Dad did not come home tonight with a puppy. They'd say, do we have a dog yet? No, didn't just magically come up with a dog somewhere. So I go to work one day, get a phone call. And this lady has a friend in Texas, in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. And this friend has this beautiful dachshund that she bred. And she's not a breeder, but she, you know, bred her family dog. And the dog is beautiful. I mean, she's perfect. And they have three puppies and two are available. And she sends me pictures. And I got to tell you right now, these dogs, you don't even have to be a dog lover. In fact, you can hate animals. These puppies, these pictures of puppies would melt your heart. If I put these puppies in little like Trump hats, little Make America Great Again hats, and you were a die-in-the-wool Democrat, Hillary Clinton supporter, and, you know, I don't know, and a Marxist fetishist, you would still look at these puppies and think they were cute, even if they were in Trump hats. So this is how cute they are. Anyway, so I look at these dogs, I'm like, oh my gosh, all right. So I try not to get attached, but time goes on, whatever. And it was time this weekend to go pick them up. So flew to Texas. This is why I had to get out of town on Friday and do a best of show. Went to Texas and we got these puppies, and I have to tell you, they are the best. Now, I'm a little tired tonight because these puppies, while they're super cute and super cuddly and super soft, they do not sleep. It's like having a newborn times 10 because, I don't know, it's not times 2. Have you had two dogs ever? And any of you? No, it's exponentially more work. But it has absolutely been fantastic. So if I seem a little bit tired to you, it's because I did the night shift last night and I took the puppies potty like four times in the middle of the night. And I have no idea. I think this puppy, they're like 4.5 pounds. And I think about 2 pounds of it is their bladder. I'm convinced. I have no idea where this liquid comes from. It's going everywhere. Oh. Anyway, no, this is the hard part. You got to train them. And you got to do it right, and it's agonizing. So anyway, but puppy breath, it's a real thing. It's so cute. And they want to just give you kisses and really sweet. So I'll bring them into the studio here, and at some point I will show them to you on the radio. Oh, no, if you follow me on Twitter, if you follow us at Sam Nation on Twitter, you would have gotten a sneak preview before this show because I put up a picture of me and them this morning. So on Twitter, you can see a photo of me and the pups. And it's Rudy and Bella, short for Rudolph and Isabella. So, yes, those are our puppies, and they are fantastic, and we're very, very, very happy to have them. All right, good stuff. There we go. Now, the tax bill. Let's talk about taxes, because as cute as puppies are, exactly at the opposite end of the things that we love spectrum are taxes. No, really, it's 180 degrees in the other direction. Everybody loves puppies, nobody loves taxes. The amount of demagoguery, of grandstanding, of political showmanship, showboating, whatever you want to call it, about this tax plan is just, it's baffling to me. Let's be clear. This tax plan is a tax cut. It cuts taxes across the board for everybody. Now, there's a joint committee on taxation that actually has even some Democrats on it. And this committee estimates that some 70% of Americans are going to end up with a lower tax bill. Working Americans, right? This is working Americans, people earning an income. They will end up with a tax cut. Now, this is really important. I'm telling you this because this is exactly diametrically opposed to what the Democrats are saying about it. Chief among them being Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi. Now, Pelosi, I don't know, I'm pronouncing her name that way, but Pelosi, she is, oh, Nancy. Here's what she explains here exactly what you need to know. If you are a Democratic sheep, listen up, because here Nancy is telling you everything about this tax plan that you need to know in order to have your marching orders. Listen up.
This GOP tax scam is simply theft, monumental, brazen theft from the American middle class and from every person who aspires to reach it. The GOP tax scam is not a vote for an investment in growth or jobs. It is a vote to install a permanent plutocracy in our nation. It does violence to the vision of our founders. It disrespects the sacrifice of our men and women in uniform, who are a large part of our middle class and to whom we owe a future worthy of their sacrifice. And it betrays the future and betrays the aspirations of our children.
Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation here. Now to bring you a dose of reality in the form of a translation for this gibberish. When she says that the GOP tax scam is simply theft, I want you to just raise your eyebrow for a minute. Just one, you know, see if you can do that. Just raise one eyebrow. There we go. Perfect. I thought taxation itself is theft. Only to a Democrat, only to a socialist is the concept of you keeping more of your money theft. She exactly, succinctly, and just bold-faced admits to what I have always believed about the Democrats, which is liberals think that your money is their money. They, the government, the men and, you know, and women now too in charge, own your money. Remember Obama saying, you didn't build this on your own. This was your businesses, and you built this because there were roads, there was government, there was help that you received out there. Yes, you didn't build it. That mentality leads them to believe that your money that you have, you get to keep only because of them and their goodwill and good nature. Whatever table scraps are left over at the end of the day, after the government has put its paw in your back pocket, well, that, my friends, is what you get to keep. Pat you on the head, send you off, all good, fine and dandy. Do you see how patronizing that is? You have you look at the tax brackets. The tax brackets are all getting reduced. Simple math. The only reason it's not 100% is because in high tax states like California, states like New Jersey, states in places like Chicago, Illinois, and New York, where there are high state and local income taxes and property taxes, etc. In those states, certain higher income individuals will end up paying more. If you make good money here in California, you might pay more in taxes next year. I'm going to tell you that right now. And that's because the SALT deduction is capped at 10 grand. 10 grand. That's it. So if you make 50K a year, you're probably going to be covered by that and you don't have a big, you know, mortgage expense. You're probably going to be fine in California. But if you make 300 grand a year or 400,000 a year, it's going to hurt. That's the newsflash. Now, this whole thing being a stealing from the poor, it's nonsense. Nancy Pelosi thinks that Trump is stealing money from the government by letting you keep more money that you earn. It is absolute. She got caught red-handed saying exactly what they believe, but never want to admit. All right, more on this when we come back. Don't go anywhere. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio, 790 KBC.
News. Talk. Evolve. 790 KABC.
Sam Rogowski back behind the Sam Nation microphone here on Talk Radio 790 KABC. So Chuck Schumer, along with Nancy Pelosi, they are full blown right now fighting this tax plan rhetorically because they really can't do anything about it with their votes. This really is the story that isn't being talked about. They are slamming this thing because they're trying to get traction out of it, fundraise off of it politically, but they can't do anything at all to stop it. They don't have the votes. And the Republicans have done one thing, I'll tell you one thing very well, is that they've been able to come together with a plan that has brought together enough Republican senators and certainly enough congressmen in the House to pass this thing and get it done. And it appears, of course, even despite the procedural snag that I described earlier, it appears to be headed in the direction of getting passed. All right. So what this all means now is there's going to be a lot of noise from the Democrats. And it is just noise. It is, yes, it's like an angry old man yelling at the ocean. And thinking he's going to change what the tides are doing that day. Here is Chuck Schumer blabbling on about the tax plan. And it's so boring that he actually loses the interest of the crowd. And then, like a grumpy old man, he starts to yell at the crowd. Listen to this.
Republican colleagues have indicated they intend to schedule votes later today on their final tax bill. They will rue the day they did it. Given the bill's substance, it's no surprise they're in such a rush. 11th-hour backroom deals have managed to only make their bill even worse. They don't want people... Folks, they don't want to discuss it. They don't want to have it have sunlight shed on it. They don't want anyone to know what's in it because it is so, so bad. And the public knows it.
This guy ran through Obamacare without so much as a worry about what was in it. Didn't even show it to the Republicans. The Republicans didn't. He couldn't even read it. And you know why? Because they didn't need the Republicans. That's why this plain and simple. And here the Republicans. I'm going to tell you right now, Mitch McConnell. He thought at some point he was going to have to get Democrats on board with this bill. So you'll remember how this played out in the beginning. He went to the Democrats and said, what can we do to make it work? And the Democrats said, no, no way, Jose. And so, no is no. What are you going to do? So they went back to the Republicans and placated the Republicans. I will tell you one thing about what Schumer is saying here that I agree with. I think that as soon as you are trying to take a bill and getting it, a controversial bill, when trying to get it passed, and you're making deals with individual senators, what will it take Senator Marco Rubio to get this deal done? And little Marco says, well, I really want extra tax breaks for working families and tax tax, child credit, whatever, blah, 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 blah. Okay, and next thing you know, they're giving it to them, even though that particular tax credit might not be good policy. So the very nature of how these bills work, you got to understand this. This is important. When you look at overwrought, pork-riddled legislation, what is it? You've got senators holding out for a pet project, for a gimme, a freebie, saying, I'll vote for it, but you know what I really need is I really need a bridge. I really need a bridge. And if there's any room for spending in the bill, that's where all the pork goes. So anyway, he's right. Generally speaking, a bill always starts out better and gets worse as people are brought on board with various enticements. And that's politics. And this is probably why I would kill myself if I had to be in politics. And you think it's bad in Congress. Go up to Sacramento. You want to see a crap show. It is up in Sacramento. That is where it really gets bad. And they start giving things away and getting people on board. And they got a majority. The Democrats have a majority. And they still can't get their people to do what they need them to do without giving stuff away. All right. Trump and his little hands and his water cup. It is all the news, all the rage. Did you hear about this? Oh, my gosh. Don't go anywhere. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KBC. We got John Wolf up next with the news.
News.
Talk.
Evolve. 790 KABC.
Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KABC. 1-800-222-5222 is the phone number if you'd like to be on the program. sam@samnation.com is my email. Do email me. I check that during the course of the show and respond when appropriate. All righty. Well, I tell you, you know Trump is having a good week. When the criticism of him begins to get nitpicky and speculative. What do I mean? Well, with the nitpicky part, I'm talking about this water glass gate nonsense. Did you saw this? He was giving a speech and he picks up a water glass and he holds it. Well, I'll tell you, they're describing it as sippy cup, as the sippy cup grip. And you're familiar with this if you've got kids. You know, sippy cups have some of the new ones have like handles actually on the side of the sippy cup. So you hold it. Your kid holds it with two hands. So Trump picks it up with both hands. Now, I'm going to call it not a sippy cup grip, but my impression of it, kind of a raccoon grip. I mean, he kind of looks like he's raccooning it, you know? He's just picking it up with both hands, and it is awkward. No question about it. Here is CNN, Chris Cuomo and Allison Camerota talking about it.
President Trump's water break is trending on social media this morning. The president reached for a glass of water during his national security speech, and Twitter took note. It has led to comparisons of how the president needs to use two hands, apparently, to drink from a water bottle. I believe last time you called it the baby grip.
Well, that is the sippy cup grip that you're using there right now.
It is the sippy cup grip.
No, it's the raccoon grip. Gosh, wish people would listen to my program first before they make fools of themselves on CNN. no, I mean, I'm just... Yeah, I don't know if he has a bushy tail. No idea. You know another name for a raccoon is Trash Panda? Yeah, anyway. So, I'm going to tell you what this means. It means when you start getting into silly little things like this, it means he's doing great. When CNN is running out of things to report bad about Trump and has to resort to trawling social media to come up with, you know, to come up with things to criticize him, this is a good sign. The other good sign, I told you, the Mueller probe, what have you been hearing in my absence as I was off in Texas fetching puppies? What has been the news du jour about the Mueller probe? that it is imminent that Trump is going to fire Mueller. He's going to fire Mueller. And Trump is up there saying, I'm not going to fire him. He's not even hedging. It's not even a qualified response. He gets asked point blank, are you going to fire Mueller? And Trump says no. Now, a number of people in the know are now saying, or I think they're not necessarily speculating. They have some inside information, so I will report it to you with an asterisk. But I will tell you that the smart inside money is on Mueller clearing Trump, and that Trump realizes this and wants to let the thing run its course. So all of you that are tweeting at me and telling me, we're going to visit Trump in jail, you're dumb. I don't know what to tell you. It would be it certainly would be a really stupid move for Trump to fire Mueller. The far wiser move would be to get rid of Rosenstein quick, because with Sessions out, Sessions is not the problem. He's the attorney general, agreed, but he's a lame duck because he's recused himself. The guy that is in the driver's seat in all of this is Rod Rosenstein, and he's a weenie. The guy's a total wuss. And to get somebody in there who has a little bit of MAGA going on, perhaps a bit of a backbone, cares about justice and not wasting, I heard a thing, Mueller's going to go on for another year. Whoo, that's going to be fun. That's a lot of millions of dollars on people. Trust me, they haven't found a ginormous smoking gun yet. Probably not going to find it another year. But these people all must be fed, and now we've created a little bureaucracy of lawyers. And lawyers, once somebody's paying the bills to lawyers, they rarely like to stop. Trust me, I'm a lawyer. Okay, Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio, 790 KABC.
News. Talk. Evolve. Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Sam Rogowski here for my friend, my attorney, Sweet James Bergner. Look, Trump's not the only one who has little raccoon hands. People might be out there driving cars with the same type of hands, perhaps not firmly on the steering wheel, very small, turning the steering wheel too abruptly, perhaps from side to side, and in so doing, becoming a hazard out there on the road. Don't be a victim. Don't get hurt. Stay out of their way. But in case something happens, you know who to call. You've got a number in your back pocket. What's the number? 800-881-2021. 1-800-881-2021. Sweet James is your attorney. He will take care of you. He will fight for you. He'll make sure that the insurance company or whoever's going to pay the bill pays the bill and takes care of you. All right? You got to get the justice you deserve, and the only way to do it is if you've got the right person in your corner. Sweet James and his team, they're the ones to call. 1-800-881-2021. All consultations are free. No recovery, no fee. It's easy. Give James a call. 800-881-2021 or visit sweetjames.com. Tuesday, Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KABC. Tuesday is always a great day. You still have the rest of the week to get stuff done, but you also have gotten through Monday, which can be in and of itself quite a great feat. So there it is. Now, one of the things that I missed while I was out over the weekend, not here behind the microphone, back on Wednesday of last week, we're really rewinding the clock, but I'll tell you why it's relevant. Wednesday of last week, there was a hearing in the Senate, a confirmation hearing for some justices. These are attorneys who are up for appointment to the district court, to federal judgeships. Well, that's a tongue twister. Federal judgeships. And federal judges, let me explain something here. These are the trial courts. These are where cases, federal cases, are heard and where they originate. And then they go, if you don't like the result, you want to appeal, it goes up through the Court of Appeals, all the way up to, all the way up to the Supreme Court. All right. So these judgeships are very important. And they're also lifetime appointments, right? These are people that are going to sit there forever. And one thing that Trump really wants to do is he wants to squeeze in as many political conservatives and allies into these positions as he possibly can, because these people can do things like shut down his entire immigration policy with, you know, the sign of a pen, like the judge did in Hawaii, like the judge did in Portland and other places. So filling these vacancies with Trump appointments, really important. In so doing, Trump put up a guy named Matthew Peterson. Now, Matthew Peterson is an attorney who works in the Federal Election Commission and had this exchange with Senator John Kennedy, Republican Louisiana, questioning him. This went viral, okay? And it's because the answers are atrocious. Listen up.
As a trial judge, you're obviously going to have witnesses. Yes. Can you tell me what the Daubert standard is?
Senator Kennedy, I don't have that readily at my disposal, but I would be happy to take a closer look at that.
Do you know what a motion in limine is?
Yes, I haven't. My background is not in litigation as when I was replying to Chairman Grassley.
Yes, sir. I've read your resume. Just for the record, do you know what a motion in limine is?
I would probably not be able to give you a good definition right here at the table.
Disastrous. And let me tell you why. Now, I did a quick poll of some of my practicing attorney friends, and I asked them, what's the Daubert principle? And I didn't get very many people being able to tell me what it is. Because it has to do it's expert testimony in federal cases, and it's really not something that a lot of people are familiar with. But I'm going to explain. I'm up against the clock here. When we come back, let me tell you why this is so bad. And if you're an attorney, you're laughing. You know exactly what I'm going to say. But this kind of went over a lot of people's heads, I think, and got dismissed as just a buffoon and a clown and as somebody who is not prepared. I just want to tell you how bad it is. All right. When we come back, Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
News. Talk. Evolve. 790 KABC.
All right. The judge or the attorney, excuse me, who was being questioned by the Senate Judiciary Committee, this guy's name is Matthew Peterson, completely fell apart under questioning by a friendly, by Senator John Kennedy, Republican Louisiana. So let me explain how this process works first, because that's a good question you were asking about how the president can appoint. He's free to appoint anybody. I mean, they have to be qualified, and the person has to be approved by the Senate. So the president puts up a name, and the Senate has the final say, thumbs up or a thumbs down. So that is the procedure prescribed by the Constitution. And people of questionable quality certainly do eke through this process. And anybody that has practiced law knows that not every judge is really up to snuff on the rules of evidence or on civil procedure or criminal procedure. Oftentimes they're not exactly, when they're brand new, especially they're rusty. So this guy here doesn't know what the Daubert principle. Fine, whatever. I get that. A little slightly obscure if you're not practicing in federal court. But then doesn't know what motions in limine are. Now, every law student, I'm just going to tell you this right now. Every law student knows what a motion in limine is. It is a basic civil procedure deal. Okay, and you go to trial. What it means is there's certain things that you agree will be excluded before trial because they're either too prejudicial or they're excluded. And you go before the judge and you go, hey, I want this excluded, I want this excluded, I want that out, I want this out. And the other side says, no, we want that in. And you argue it out and the judge makes a decision on it. It's big because every case is fought on what gets in and what doesn't. So if you're sitting on a jury, for example, a little sneak behind the curtain, you might not get to hear exactly everything that is bad about the other side. You may not find out, for example, that the person that's on trial has previous conviction for something else because the judge has decided it's not relevant. It's too prejudicial. There's key pieces of evidence that have been excluded in a criminal case because it's fruit of a poisonous tree. It's, you know, it was an illegal search and seizure and it's been ruled inadmissible. But all of that is taken care of in pretrial motions. So motions in limine, that's what that is. Everybody knows what it is. Every lawyer, and this guy didn't. And I'm guessing that he just froze and started sweating up a pool. I bet his seat was wet when he stood up. Because it's like this actually, I felt bad for the guy. This reminded me of law school. You know, this is how they teach you. They teach you law, right? It's the Socratic method. They don't just lecture. A good professor will question you, will grill you. Mr. Murjofsky, do you know what the Daubert principle is? You know, and that's how they figure out if you've, you know, done the reading and are following and tracking the class. It's public humiliation. But guess what? That's what you want as a consumer. If you got a lawyer, right? If you're a guy and you're hiring a lawyer, you want that guy or gal to have been thoroughly grilled and not just grilled, but poked and prodded and abused by their law school to produce a lawyer, an attorney who can think on their feet. That's the purpose of that type of education. And so if you can't survive a grilling by a friendly senator or by a professor who essentially wants the best for you, you shouldn't survive law school or the confirmation process. I thought this was really fascinating, but truth be told, my guess is a lot of justices, and just from seeing in practice some judges, they don't know. I can't name names. But I will. Oh, I don't know. I actually don't. I can't name a single federal judge, but I for certain county judges, they don't know rules of evidence. Many of them have no clue. And so, anyway, it's a funny thing. Okay, when we come back after the 8 o'clock news, another hour, yes, of Sam Nation, which is great. Now, I want to circle back to the Me Too controversy. There have been developments. I sense a shift, and I talked, we spoke about this a little bit last week. There's more stuff trickling out, and I think it's fascinating. And so, anyway. Let's talk about it. Don't go anywhere. I will be back after the news with John Wolf, Sam Murjofsky, Sam Nation Live on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
News. Talk. Evolve. 790 KABC.
Sam Murjofsky, Sam Nation Live on Talk Radio 790 KABC. All right. One thing I've been following here in the news is the train accident, the Amtrak derailment. These things, not to talk shop too much. I follow these type of transportation accidents because it's what I do. Professionally, and one thing to bear in mind is all of these trains are required to have each of the locomotives has a black box, and so they're reviewing that and trying to figure out what happened, if it's speed, if there was something on the tracks. I mean, there's different theories, working theories right now about what happened and what caused the train to derail. But at the end of the day, it's Amtrak. Okay, Amtrak's responsible. More than likely for what happened, or the rail company, the people that own the railroad track. And Amtrak, to my knowledge, every train case I've worked on, they've never owned the track. The tracks belong to the big railroads that crisscross the freight lines. They generally are the ones that own the railroads. So a lot of people have been asking me, they go, well, the track is Amtrak and the train is Amtrak, so it's going to be an Amtrak case. And I said, not necessarily. Depends on who's maintaining the line, who's and they may share some responsibility and oftentimes do in derailment cases. So that will be interesting to see what, you know, how that all plays out. But to support what Trump did, you know, that he sent out that tweet about our crumbling infrastructure. These, okay, these railroads that we have out there, I'm not saying they're Golden Spike era, okay? But close, okay? Close. You know, we talk about we want to get ourselves to be more earth-friendly and use mass transit. Two of the people that died on the train were rail travel advocates, which I think is kind of a bad, you know, bad bit of publicity for rail travel when two prominent, advocates for train travel perish like this on an accident. But the fact of the matter is, the state of these railroads, the lines themselves, forget the trains and, you know, the fact that there's fleas in the seat cushions and all that stuff. Amtrak, I've used Amtrak. I've been on the train and I always am really lucky I don't need a flea bath afterwards. So, but that, all of that aside, the comfort of it aside, there are serious problems with these tracks. And they're designed, they're owned by the freight companies generally, and they're designed for these freight trains. They're designed for these heavy, lumbering, and slow-moving trains. And what they were trying to do here is create a faster line, and there was a turn, and they went a little bit, this one working theory, they went a little bit too fast. So, big problem. They're common carriers. Yeah, that's another point. Yeah, they're common carriers. So, like airlines, train, Amtrak, any kind of a boat, taxis, they're common carriers. And that means that they are open to the public, they carry the public, and there's a higher duty of responsibility. There's a higher standard of care that they owe us. So, yeah, Amtrak's going to pay out big on this. There's going to be, people are going to sue, and they're going to win, I believe. All right. Me too. Hashtag me too. If you've been alive in the last 2-3 months or so, you will know that there's been a rash of women and even some men coming forward claiming long histories of sexual harassment at the hands of their powerful employers, bosses, and other, I don't know, positions of power. And it's affected politicians, it's affected media figures, and I think the patient zero of all of this was our favorite Hollywood disgusting pig of the year, Harvey Weinstein, who is alleged to have done really some very terrible things to a large number of women, many of whom were seeking, stardom. Wanted to be in his movie. I mean, call him up to his room, supposedly, and ask for sexual favors and the like. It didn't end with Harvey Weinstein, and there were new reports every week, still are. I see every time I open up, any kind of newspaper, there it is on the front page, the latest person who has been accused. And what is the immediate thing that happens when somebody is accused? They are tainted. Right now, they are accused. And by implication, they are a sexual harasser. There is no wait to hear from the other side. If the guy, and usually it's a guy, but, there actually was a woman recently. I don't know if you saw that, a politician in the Midwest who was running for office, and her male subordinate claimed that she harassed him and denied him promotion because he refused her advances, and she had to drop out of the race. So now we have a semi-prominent woman who's had this type of accusation come against her. But anyway, the point is here that you have the allegation, and the accused is silent and doesn't say anything, well, I mean, he must be guilty. The implication is that he did it. And I think this has been very troubling from the get-go. And when Al Franken came out when the allegations came out against him and he gave these mealy-mouthed explanations of what happened, I thought it was very dangerous and stupid of him, frankly, to withdraw from the Senate because it sets a dangerous precedent. He went in his statement, he said, I didn't do it. I remember this very differently. And I, you know, reluctantly will look into the future to see if I should resign. Now, it's starting to turn. And I'll tell you how I'm seeing this. Listen, you know, Mika Brzezinski, you know, she's Morning Joe on MSNBC. No fan of Trump, right? No fan of Trump. Crazy leftist. Loves to spout off about all things women rights, et cetera, et cetera. You can hear the backpedaling in her explanation here. She's actually getting challenged by her fiancé, Joe Scarborough. Listen to what she says.
Right now, any woman can say anything and a man's career is ruined. Now, a lot of women can say things that are true and their career should be ruined.
By the way.
But the problem
is
any woman can say anything and that's it, it's over.
But the problem is that any woman can say anything and that's it. It's over, right? For the man, for the accused. And she's right. This is exactly it. My concern, as I've said to you many times before, my concern is that this movement creates so this is off with their heads, kind of a reign of terror type atmosphere. An accusation is leveled. The accused immediately becomes toxic, right? For his employer, for any of his associations, for any of his wherever his career may be politically, if he's in politics. In fact, the more prominent, integrated, and the more money behind the person. For example, if it's a studio head, or if it's somebody. Let's say that is a talk show host that immediately now becomes a problem, and it becomes a problem for the media company behind him, his employers, etc. So the more prominent the accused is, typically the more quickly these charges adhere and stick, and the person is run out of town before he really has a chance to do or say anything. Now, as this relates to Franken is the Democratic senator from Minnesota. He got accused by a couple of ladies, one of them being our own Leanne Tweeden here at KBC. And for the most part, when you compare it to what the kind of stuff that was going on about Harvey Weinstein, relatively tame. Now, he's a sitting senator. He was elected. Lots and lots and lots of Minnesotans voted for him. I personally think they were stupid to do so. Because Franken has, he's the guy is a goofball. This guy, and people knew what his comedy career and his shtick was all about. This guy has pictures of himself in adult diapers pretending to be a baby. This is gross stuff. Look it up. It's there. Any rate, Robbie's like, no, he's, I'm not looking it up. No thanks. But it's out there. But because he's a senator, because he's elected, if there's an accusation about him that implicates his moral character and his fitness to serve, there is a process there by which the charge is sorted out. And that is at the Senate Ethics Committee. And he was willing to submit himself to that process, but was refused, essentially, by fellow Democrats. Now, here is a Democrat. Finally, somebody speaking up for Al Franken. This is Senator Manchin talking about Al Franken and kind of backpedaling on his resignation. Listen to this.
I think that Al Franken should go through the process of what he's asked for, a due process. It's just unbelievable to me how you can destroy a human being's life and his family and everything that they stand for without giving them a chance. So, that's all I said, and I just think that everyone's caught up. Who's going to be out? You know, who's going to outdo the other? And it's just ridiculous.
So you think Senator Franken should not resign in January?
I definitely think he should not resign. I think he should submit himself, which he has willingly done and offered to do, and go through this complete process of an extensive ethics review. And whatever the outcome is, I will live with it.
He says, I will live with that. I can live with that, is what he actually ends the interview with. Now, I said this last Tuesday, 1 week ago, so 1 week before Senator Manchin made these comments. And this is what I said on the 12th about Franken.
Going back to Franken resigning, you remember what he said? Some of these things didn't happen. Some of these things that are alleged, I remember very differently. And then said, I'm going to be, you know, in the coming weeks, I'm going to be resigning my position. And I remember hearing it, and I thought, you know, the left isn't going to like this. They're going to be very uncomfortable with this, and they will begin to spin this as the first victim of a movement that has maybe gone too far, which I've said all along. Where's the due process?
Bingo. This is exactly right. And as usual, I'm at the cutting edge here of what is breaking. I'm ahead of the news. My job here, my role, by the way, behind this microphone is to get you ahead of the news story, not just tell you what happened. And I'm the leading, the cutting edge of this Me Too business is that there's a coming backlash. And it was after this show that then I remember we spoke about the Politico piece. Politico, again, very typically politically left-wing writers there. And one of these gals there wrote a long piece about how is there a backlash coming with a question mark. And I'm telling you, the answer to that piece is yes, it is. Because here you had someone for whom there was a prescribed process of how to deal with this, and the process was totally discarded for the sake of political expediency. And you remember, by the way, why they discarded with the process. Franken had to be sacrificed for political means. The political means and ends were what? Well, they had that guy running down in Alabama, Mr. Roy Moore, Judge Roy Moore, actually. And he had all these accusers, and the Democrats thought, God, this guy's going to get elected, and we have got to be the party that we got to get rid of Franken so we can really torpedo and scuttlebutt these Republicans for supporting Roy Moore. That is how flim-flam the Democratic Party is, and frankly, trust me, I think the Republicans in the Senate would have done the same exact thing. But it sets a dangerous precedent. We cannot play politics with this thing because once you weaponize accusations alone as a means of destroying people's careers, eventually this thing will turn on you. It will. And that's what happened when I liken it to the Reign of Terror. You look at the French Revolution and you know, maybe in the first day, you know, they really executed a few, you know, enemies of the Republic. But by the time they hit day 60, they were just lopping people's heads off for no good reason because there was a head-lopping frenzy. Off with their heads. Chop, chop, chop. I mean, you know, we use this as an example, and we use it as a metaphor for when we get carried away and when we do away with process and procedure. It was exactly in reaction to this that our Bill of Rights were written into the Constitution. And I think even though employees generally in at-will states can be fired at any time, employers have got to be careful about letting people go for flim-flam accusations. Because if you find out later that the accusation was fabricated and the employer did not investigate it, I think there's going to be some very, very compelling and strong wrongful termination cases brought by men who've been discarded over made up stuff. And you're seeing it in colleges. It's a little bit different. You've got colleges are, I'll explain why that's different. But anyway, this is so important. And we are following it. We're not just following it. We're ahead of it. How about that? Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio, 790 KABC.
News.
Talk.
Evolve. Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Sam Rujofsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KABC. I was just explaining how the it's a little bit different with colleges, especially when they're public universities. Your property rights or your due process rights are more codified. They're more applicable when you have when you're dealing with the government, right? Because the Constitution binds the government to act according to its terms, not private individuals. You don't necessarily have due process rights if you're an at-will employee, but you do if you are a tenured professor at a public, especially at a public institution, and same with a college student at a public institution. So that's where a little bit of the difference lies. But still, you are seeing that students. And there's a great example of that. I don't have it. I didn't find it, but it was in my stack here somewhere about college students who were kicked out of school over ridiculous accusations of harassment that later got investigated. The women lied. They just flat out made stuff up because that's what 19-year-old kids do. They make stuff up, got blown out of proportion. Kids ended up getting kicked out of school. Lives ruined, right? I mean, you're on college track. Everything you've done from the time you're 12 has led up to you getting into a great school. Bam, you're out of that school. Next thing you know, your life is off the rails. And so this is a big deal, and it has to stop. And I will tell you where this whole Me Too thing began. It started with Title IX. Being turned into by the Obama administration, by the way. Title IX is the education code, right? It has to do with giving rights to students on college campuses, and they really wanted to make college campuses free of sexual harassment. So they wrote that letter. Do you remember what that letter was called? It was the Dear Colleague letter, right? And sent out very specific, I mean, onerous guidelines for schools to follow. And it was all Obama's doing. The Obama White House decided that they were going to wipe sexual assault and sexual harassment off campuses, that they were going to start with this new generation and create a society that was free of men being interested in women. Excuse me, m'lady, can I kiss you right now? Huh? Explain to me. I don't know. I've been out of the dating world for a while. I'm pretty sure that doesn't work. I'm pretty sure that every great passionate, not every, but most great passionate relationships, great long-term relationships started with that moment where there's some tension. There's a little bit of magic in the air, a little bit like, do I not? And then what happens? The man seizes the moment and leans in for a kiss. Now, right there, you do that on a college campus. Once that Dear Colleague letter came out, Obama weaponized Title IX. And guess what? You could be on the skids, pal. You could be out, you know, the next thing you know, you got the provost looking into what you did. You should have asked for permission. What is this? It's a kiss. You're not landing an airplane. I don't know. I mean, what do you call it? Tower control. Can I, permission to land? I don't think so. And it's also not sex. It's just a freaking kiss. See? And I'm, by the way, you're telling me that women, women actually really want a guy to say, excuse me, Sally, can I kiss you right now? I mean, no. Oh, yeah. And then here, let me produce a checklist. Okay. So first base, check. Now let's talk about second base. Where are we on that? Okay. Let me tell you, here's the terms and conditions. These restrictions apply. No. Maybe literally. Liberals want to kill all joy in the world. And everybody knows, listen, Before Title IX, these issues got sorted out in a court of law, and 12 people on the jury would decide, was that a come on that went wrong, or was it, you know, was it a pickup line, or was it a sexual assault? And 12 reasonable people can sort that out. It's easy. Not easy, but it's doable. But this is just this whole it's just craziness. And it needs to stop. Sam Rzhovsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KBC. John Wolf is up next with the news.
News, talk, evolve. 790 KBC.
Sam Rzhovsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KABC, a proud defender of common sense. We hope it's not going out of style because, at least on this program, it's still very trendy. 800-222-5222 if you'd like to be on the program. Sam@samnation.com is my email. Conrad Black, Lord Black, who... it's one of my favorite people, tweeted this a few hours back. Trump was a joke until nominated, unelectable until elected, incompetent until he succeeded, and about to be impeached until he debunked the collusion nonsense. He, meaning Trump, has had a very successful year. His enemies have not. Got to remember that. If you thought that there was no way he could have gotten the nomination and were shocked by the result, there you go. If you thought there was no way he could beat Hillary, well, there you go. If you thought he'd be out of there, he'd give up on it before even, I don't know, before he even got sworn in as president, I know who you are. You're out. I know who you are. And now if you're sitting around going, oh, he's just it's just another couple weeks and he's going to be impeached. You know, if you're Joy Behar going, oh, I'm having myself just hot flashes over Trump getting. No, it's not going to happen. You've been wrong so many times. Why do you think you're going to be right now? The answer is you're not applying logic to the situation. You're using your emotion. And I get it. You're a Democrat. Totally normal. The reason you got to where you are is because you don't use your brain, you use your heart, and I get it. Just got to start using your head. Now, speaking of using your head, I found that the Dear Colleague letter, this is what expanded Title IX, which is the federal law ensuring equal access to college by women and preventing discrimination based on gender, which all sounds fine and dandy, but has been expanded. This thing's been just turned into a behemoth. And Obama administration then with this Dear Colleague letter expanded it to prevent sexual harassment, sexual assault, which is all fine and dandy, but also something called sexual coercion, which as best as I can, I don't know what sexual coercion, what is sexual coercion? Is that, hey, no. Well, I mean, isn't that basically, hey, girl or guy, let's have fun? I'm trying to keep this PG. It could be another F word. I mean, isn't college and sexual coercion? I mean, isn't that what it's all about? I mean, isn't it guys and gals getting together? You know how prudish this is in a world where Tinder is literally exploding right as they're doing the Dear Colleague letter? You know, great thing here. Additionally, and this is a line from the Dear Colleague letter, page 2. Additionally, the likelihood that a woman with intellectual disabilities will be sexually assaulted is estimated to be significantly higher than the general population. Now, I've got a question. What the hell is a woman with intellectual disabilities doing in college? I mean, if it's so significant that she can't consent to a come on, I'm sorry, what's she doing in college? It's a serious question. It is so absurd. This stuff is so nonsensical. But back to what I was saying, Tinder, Grindr, if you're in the gay community. It's all about hooking up. It's literally, I mean, the art of chivalry and, you know, and dating and let's, you know, kind of, you know, dance around it. It's gone away. And it's like, hey, baby, let's get it on. It's my understanding of what is on the internet these days. Meanwhile, they're trying, you've got like a little checklist every time you meet a girl in college and you have to, like, you know, check the boxes. It's absurd. And this part, by the way, this actually parallels the whole safe space nonsense, too. They want to create a totally fictitious world at universities. That is the purpose of this. Fictional world. And these kids then are kids, and you're spending gobs of money paying for their tuition. They end up 22-year-old grown-ups who have never seen the light of day in the real world. It is bad, bad stuff. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KBC.
News, talk, evolve. 790 KBC.
Ho, 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 ho. It's the season to be jolly and merry and do all of our Christmas shopping. And that means crazy roads, means people rushing and dashing to and fro and not being careful and causing accidents. Also, pets are loose, biting, because they're nervous about all of us being nervous. And so that's a problem. People riding in trains that are derailing, planes falling out of the sky. You get the picture. It's a crazy world out there. And that's why you need Sweet James Bergner. He is your lawyer, my lawyer, everybody's lawyer. If you're smart, you'll hire him if you need him. 800-881-2021. 1-800-881-2021. That is the number to reach James and his team. You want this guy in your corner, okay? He'll fight for you aggressively, get the insurance company or whomever is out there responsible to pay up and get you the results that you deserve. So you want to talk to them. They're easy to talk to, great people, great staff, the whole office, bunch of friendly people who know what they're doing and care. 1-800-881-2021 or visit sweetjames.com. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KABC. It bears noting that Betsy DeVos, who is the education secretary now under Trump, has rescinded the Dear Colleague letter that I was discussing, which is just another thing to remind you, elections have consequences. And all this stuff would have just gotten worse if Hillary were left to continue the nonsense of the Obama years. And I have no reason to believe that that Hillary would have done anything but make this worse. We would have just been continuing down this path. So at least there is some return to reason here. Now, I got an email here a few minutes ago from Tom in Lake Forest. Now, Tom, by the way, appreciate you listening and thank you for thinking that that I have common sense. He writes, great show, lots of common sense. Thank you. You're welcome. And then Tom writes, the president likely has basal joint arthritis, as do I, meaning reduced grip strength because of pain in the thumb. So it is hard to pick up a heavy cup with one hand. This all in relation to Trump using both hands to pick up a cup. If this is true, the media is mocking him for a handicap. Think about that. What if, I'm just saying, what if the media was, or anybody, if a conservative pundit out there was making fun of Ted Kennedy when he was in the Senate for wobbling around like a sad drunk that he was? I mean, what would have happened? You're ageist. You're discriminatory. You know, they're saying it's signs of dementia, that Trump has dementia. They keep going after this. They want to find any way to get rid of him. They cannot accept the results of this election. That's what all of this nonsense, the Russia probe, the Mueller investigation, all this comes back to can't accept the results of this election. And him having supposedly a case of dementia is just part of it. By the way, they say that especially for men, the longer you stay active and don't retire, meaning professionally active, the more likely you are to stay healthy. Have you heard? Have you read the study? It's common sense. You know this anecdotally, right? You, the guy that dreams of retiring, he's excited. He's counting down the days. He's basically got an advent calendar for his last day of work. And within a year, he's dead because he's lost his purpose. He's out of, you know, out of his routine. And it's not good for people. There has to be some transition. But or alternatively, certain people just need to stay working in some capacity. So I think actually the fact that he's president, busy, got a lot on his plate, probably is keeping this guy going. And he's old. Trump is in his 70s now, right? We don't talk about that. He's an older guy. And he's, yeah, he's chugging 12 Diet Cokes and he's got all these bad habits and they're going after all the media, just won't let it go. If he were a Democrat, here's what they'd be saying about. They'd be celebrating how active, how with it, how focused, how much winning he's doing, and look at him, and he's an older guy, and he should be retired. Instead, he's doing all this for the good of his country. I can already hear CNN saying something like that, and instead, it's everything the opposite. It's all has to do with his politics. They hate his politics. They don't want to see Trump succeed, and they are full court press out to destroy him. Good stuff. Means he's doing something right. Take it from me. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, back right after this.
News, talk, evolve. 790 KABC.
Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KABC. I wanted to update you on that poor security robot that was bullied and forced off the street in San Francisco. I mentioned this last week. This is a robot that was put out on patrol by the SPCA. This is the Society for Prevention of Cruelty to Animals. They have a building in San Francisco. They have, well, nobody wants to say this. They got a homeless problem. They got bums outside that are doing terrible things and scaring people and assaulting people and leaving trash and the like. So they send a security robot out there to patrol the street. Well, the security robot, which is a Nightscope K5 robot, is assaulted. It's attacked. Some bums actually went and tipped it over, smeared what seemed to be feces and also barbecue sauce. An interesting combination. And this robot. And now the company, the Nightscope K5 security robot company, has come out and has issued a statement. Contrary to sensationalized reports, Nightscope was not brought in to clear the area of homeless individuals. Nightscope was deployed, however, to serve and protect the SPCA. The SPCA has the right to protect its property, employees, and visitors, and Nightscope is dedicated to helping them achieve this goal. Blah, blah, blah. What do you think is happening there? Of course it's about the homeless, but they can't say it's about the homeless because nobody can say anything bad about the homeless, because if you say something bad about the homeless, you're a horrible person. So I love puppies, but I'm not really huge fans of how we're dealing with the homeless problem at all. And I think the thing that I found most insulting about the story is the SPCA, the Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals, goes to the city for help. They go to San Francisco and say, hey, you know, we got this expensive, you know, 400-pound robot that we deployed to protect our sidewalk because, you know, by the way, your police force is not taking care of us because, you know, whatever, your hands are tied and you're politically correct. And never mind that we pay a lot of taxes and, you know, and everything to be here in the city and pay for this building. But anyway, by the way, can you help us with the fact that our robot just got trashed? Do you know what the city did? Were you listening last week? The city threatened them with a $1,000 a day fine for operating a 400-pound machine in the public realm without a permit. That, this is a very important takeaway here. There is an unwritten contract between government and people. And this unwritten contract goes back to feudal times when you had a lord of the manor and you had the peasants out there, you know, think like Shrek, okay? You had the peasants out there. And what was the deal? The peasants worked. The peasants paid taxes. And what did the lord promise to do in return? Keep you safe. It's a basic tenet of the relationship. And that concept, by the way, has continued to evolve, but has stayed functionally the same. Why are we paying taxes to Uncle Sam at the end of the day? It's not so John Conyers can pay $350,000 to settle a sex harassment claim. No, the idea is that the government keeps us safe. The federal government keeps us safe from Kim Jong-un. Okay? And we're paying to our local government. They're keeping us safe from bums setting fire to our neighborhoods. And from people robbing our homes. And that is what eventually is going to lead to a breakdown here in California, because the sovereign, the state of California, and local governments aren't taking care of us. We're paying all this money in, money that now, moving forward, next year, we won't even be able to deduct from our taxes, paying all this money in, and what are we getting back from it? Nothing. Catch and release. They catch somebody burglarizing your house, they write them a ticket. Such nonsense. So anyway, we will follow up, keep track of the story. But anyway, the security burbot got bullied and then eventually slapped with a fine by the city of San Francisco. That is the story. Okay, we're back tomorrow night, 7 p.m. I'm already looking forward. I'm excited. Have a great night. See you tomorrow night, 7 p.m.
News. Talk. Evolve. 790 KABC.